morning, good evening, whatever the time is, wherever you are listening to this podcast. I'm Anthony Wilson. This is the Mastering Risk Management podcast, and we're back with podcast chats. So welcome back. So as always, Brett Palmer joins us. Hey, Brett.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
Oh, living the dream, living the dream. We're talking about risk management.
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk about another risk management subject today, slightly different, but extremely important for every organisation, I'm confident, and that is project risk management. So, yeah, something a little different, but really important to get right, and we thought we would have a bit of a chat about that today. So, Brett, where do we start when it comes to project risk management?
Gee, Anthony, the one word that comes to mind rather quickly is opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think in this context, there's opportunities probably relevant in two contexts. The first is that there's opportunity that we're actually pursuing. That's why we're undertaking the project in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And secondly, there's a huge opportunity to do this better.
Yeah, yeah, my word. So we the listeners will recall at some stage not that long ago, we spoke about risk being opportunities and threats. And the opportunity phase is the one that identifies a project that needs to be done. So that's absolutely correct. And yes, unfortunately, despite all the science and knowledge and smart minds that have gone into getting project management right, we still see a lot of projects fail with monotonous regularity.
Monotonous.
So perhaps if we could talk today a little bit about not project management, but project risk management, maybe we might help increase the chances of getting projects across the line successfully. And I guess, Brett, there's all manner of projects when we, you know, projects is a big church, isn't it? It could be something very small, like a software upgrade in a business, to a mega project like, you know, build Snowy Hydro 2 or, you know, those sort of things. So it's a vast gamut.
I think that's right, and I think that also is part of the challenge for a lot of organisations, is that they're not in the business of doing projects. So those organisations that are in the business of doing projects and do projects on an ongoing, continuous basis across a wide range of different types of scopes, scales, call it what you will, they should have this nailed down pretty well. But a lot of organisations, for them, it may well be, as you mentioned, a simple software upgrade,
yeah,
or introducing a new software platform. It could be an organisational restructure. There's all sorts of things that come under the scope. But those organisations are not doing it on a regular basis. And whilst you might say, well, if they're not doing it on a regular basis, the risks are low, the reality is for them, on a project-by-project basis, the risk is probably quite high.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess project risk differs a little bit from, you know, your normal risk assessment type process or your normal risk management process, in that this is the risk assessment where you can actually learn from previous projects and actually take some of that information and transfer it into your own project. And that's correct, isn't it, Brett? We can actually learn from who has gone before us.
I think that's a very, very good point, and it's an area that we see and we work with a number of clients in, where we suggest to them that they don't have to start with a blank sheet of paper.
Yeah.
When you're looking at a project, one of the best places to start is from a risk perspective is to have a look at the last project that you did.
Mm.
And if it was of a similar nature, a lot of what you need to know is actually already captured, assuming you've done your risk assessment properly.
Yeah, 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 and that's really it's a bit of a free kick. It's a good start to the project when you can leverage what's already been done. There may be very similar risks to your project that were involved in the last one. There's the core risk to the project, as in delivering it on time, delivering it on budget, and delivering the scope as advertised. But there may be some other things like, you know, ability to get skilled staff for the project or whatever it is. So those things may be consistent and you may be able to leverage that from a previous program. Bearing in mind, you can't bring across the previous program's risk ratings.
Absolutely not. Never. No. No. And that's very important to emphasise that. Every project has different context. It may well be that sitting down and analysing the context of your project, you can see a strong similarity to a previous project. So that'll help you. That'll provide you with guidance. But you need to start that process by looking at the risks you've identified, but not looking at their ratings. Yeah. Understand the context. Rate them based upon the specific situation you're facing with your project and move forward accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other
thing to remember, Anthony, of course, is that sometimes what the previous risk analysis and risk management will do is it'll identify control capabilities as opposed to controls that are in place. So yeah. A lot of organisations have got the capability there. They just need to introduce it to the project.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the first step in the process is going to be identifying the risks to the project. So, you know, that could be a lot of it could come from the template that you may have developed from previous projects or programs. You've put together a list of typical risks that come up, but you should obviously systemically identify the risks. So get the stakeholders involved, have those conversations, look at that historical data, as we said, conduct your brainstorming sessions, do whatever it is that you need to do to identify risk to the projects. That's got to be the first component, I would think.
Yep, I would think that's right.
Yeah. So once you've identified them, then like any other risk management process, you've got to do a risk assessment. So you need to understand their potential impact on the project and how likely they are to have occurred. So some people do qualitative analysis, some do quantitative analysis, some do both, which is probably the better approach, just so you know which are the risks you need to prioritise. Because like everything, you can't address every single thing. You need to prioritise what you're going to focus on.
That's right. And it's interesting around the quant and qual analysis that you referenced there, Anthony. It's just unrealistic and unnecessary to think that you need to do quantitative analysis on every single risk.
Yeah.
It's just not necessary. But there are definitely risks that arise within projects where you should be looking at a quantitative analysis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Risk ownership. So making sure that once you've identified those risks, you actually have an owner who's going to have that accountability to mitigate and manage. So that's the traditional four options you've got of avoiding, transferring, mitigating, or accepting the risk. So somebody needs to own the risk, and then they need to be thinking about, right, what am I going to do about it? What's the mitigation strategy that I need to put in place for that particular risk? Then I guess going from there, Brett, we would get on to some sort of contingency planning. So, you know, despite the best efforts, programs sometimes have some challenges, and we should make sure that we've got those contingency plans in place in case, you know, worst case scenario, our preventing controls don't work.
This is no different to any other risk assessment, Anthony, and it's an area where a lot of projects actually fall quite short. Yes, we do want to avoid the risk from arising, so our focus is very much on prevention, but you have to assume that not every preventing control is going to work all of the time.
Absolutely.
So if you don't actually have a strategy for how you're going to respond when they do fail, it's likely that you're not going to be able to minimise the impact of that consequence arising.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, Brett, one of the things that, to my mind, is more prevalent or more important in project risk probably than other risk management is that communication piece. You've got stakeholders all around the place that, you know, people who are going to be affected by the project outcomes, people that are going to be affected during the course of the project. You've got, steering committees or other governing bodies that are involved in these things. You've got partners in the project potentially. You've got the team members themselves, the project team members. So it's really important that you get a solid communication program in place. You think about how often you're going to talk to people, what you're going to talk to them about. You have that stakeholder management plan in place, I guess, is the ideal.
I think the key word with communication, Anthony, is probably alignment, making sure that everybody's aligned, everybody's on the same page. And that sort of leads to other things that you need to be aligned on as well. For example, you need to be clear on your risk appetite.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, a lot of organisations don't actually sit down and consider risk appetite at a project level.
Yeah.
They might be looking at risk appetite from an organisational perspective, but they don't actually apply it when they sit down to start analysing whether or not they can do the project.
Yeah, my word. And that probably leads nicely on to the next one, which is your monitoring and review process. So critical in every risk management activity, in project risk management, no different. You have to monitor and review. So are you within the boundaries that the risk appetite sets for you? Are you taking regular review to make sure that the context hasn't changed? So has something happened in the project that needs to be accounted for, and does that change the risk perspective? Are the controls working as they should be? All of that monitoring and review activity is just as important in projects as it is in any other risk management activity.
Absolutely agree. And pushing that up a little bit further into governance, it's an area where a lot of organisations can struggle, particularly those organisations that are not doing regular projects. It's that one-off type project that they do. They don't really have that experience to draw on in what sort of level of governance they should be applying to the project. But project governance is fundamental, and project management reporting is fundamental to that effective governance process.
Yeah, absolutely. My word. Like every other area of risk, you need to be adaptable because the risk landscape changes and, you know, a new risk could emerge or an existing risk might change. So there's got to be a level of adaptability when it comes to managing project risk. Things change. And the longer your project goes, you can almost guarantee there's going to be change along the way. The thing's going to evolve. The scope could change, you know, all of those sort of things. Technology changes along the way. So that is something just to keep in mind as well.
Actually, Anthony, if I could just make a point there, that sort of goes back to context. So we know that context is very important and the frequency of reviewing risks is very important outside of the project space. It's no different. The project perhaps is more important in respect to the timing issues. Mm. So your context could actually have an impact quicker. So yeah. It's no different. You can't just set the risk register and be comfortable with your ratings and then walk away from it. It's got to be something that lives and breathes through the life of the project.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's some fundamentals as well, things like the documentation. So your risk register, all of those issues management things. So if things come up during the process, during the project, you're actually tracking those, you're tracking resolution of those, you're understanding whether it has an impact on the risk rating or whether the controls need to be adapted. You obviously need to track your resource allocation, so the people working on the project, have they got the right skills? Is there enough of them? Are there enough physical bodies to get the work done that needs to be done? So all of that sort of stuff is key as well. But I guess an interesting one too, Brett, that we need to think about is just that risk culture during a project. So we talk about it from an organisational level, making sure we've got the appropriate risk culture. But it's also important in project world.
Absolutely, Anthony. I mean, the culture of risk within the organisation is fundamental no matter what part of the organisation's activities you're looking at undertaking. Mm. You want to make sure that there's a level of maturity in how you're approaching risk. You want to make sure that there's that understanding of the importance of risk management and setting of the expectations through the governance forum. And depending on the scale of the project, of course, from the board.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I guess lastly, in the simple sort of steps we talk about with project risk management is that lessons learned component. So, you know, we talked at the start about leveraging maybe a template project risk register or, you know, learning from history. But, you know, that process comes about by being sensible at the end of a project or a program and learning from all the lessons that happened while that program was underway. So documenting those lessons, understanding what went wrong, understanding how we resolved it, and thinking about how we might be able to put preventing controls in place in the next program or project to make sure that we don't do that again. So getting smarter and iterating every time we do a program.
And certainly, Anthony, if your approach is to leverage the risk register from your previous project as your starting point, that's really important because it enables you to make sure that that template, if you want to use it as a template, yep. That template is up to date and reflects all the learnings and all the experience that you got out of the previous project.
Yeah, my word, my word. So, Brett, that's probably a cook's tour and very generic in terms of a project risk activity. Would there be anything else to keep in mind if you were undertaking a fairly significant or complex project, a major CapEx piece or something like that? Are there anything else we should talk about with the listeners?
Sure. There's a lot of things that they need to consider. I mean, control assurance is important. How you actually review the effectiveness of risk management overall and the timing in which that is done, that's very important. For organisations that are undertaking projects as a part of their business, there's principal controlled insurance programs that they should be thinking about. There's significant benefits, significant upside for the principal in those types of insurance programs, but they're not for all organisations, and there's a requirement there that you need to have a pretty strong level of understanding of insurance embedded within your organisation and a good strong broker to work with to make those sorts of things happen. But if the opportunity's there, it's certainly worth looking into.
Yeah, my word. So, and that's a good point, Brett. We did a podcast chat. The last one was actually on risk and insurance and investment in a robust risk management program. We know pays off in insurance as well. And
we certainly do, Anthony. And I'm very pleased that we've just managed to see another of our clients putting away some very significant improvements in their program as a result of strategically engaging risk management into that process.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, the money's there and the benefits are there if you make the investment. Okay, well, listen, it's been a great chat about project risk management. We think it's important, critically important, otherwise we wouldn't be talking about it. And we work with clients in this space to help them with their project risk management as well. So if you need that assistance, wanted just to have a chat about how to improve your project risk management, give us a shout. You can contact us through www.abmrisk.com.au. We'd be glad to have a chat, even that's over a coffee or whatever, and talk about your project challenges or any of your risk management challenges for that matter. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Brett, for signing up again and having another chat.
Thanks, Anthony.
Excellent.
Always good to chat.
It is. So, listeners, thank you for tuning in. We will come back to you with another podcast chat soon. Cheers.